Hello, and welcome to another bonus episode of the Holistic Trauma Healing Podcast that is exclusively available to you as a Circle member. These episodes are a deeper dive down the holistic trauma healing rabbit hole. You will find yourself challenged, empowered, inspired, and maybe even a little bit uncomfortable. But remember, we're getting to the root of how trauma has affected every aspect of your existence, and that's not always quick or easy. By being part of the Trauma Healer Circle, you are already consciously creating your best possible reality and weaving a new web of life that isn't ruled by the past. I'm so honored you're in my circle. Hello, Holistic Trauma Healing Circle members. I'm thrilled that you are listening to the very first bonus episode of the podcast. Thank you for being part of my circle and for joining me in this sacred space. I'm really excited about this first bonus episode because it's the juicy stuff after my first two boundaries episodes with Poplar Rose. Those were episodes 23 and 24 of the podcast that's accessible to the public. I just kept the tape rolling and Poplar and I kept having a conversation, and what you're about to listen to is that conversation. And there are some pretty hot takes in this episode, maybe some things that she or I will say that might make you raise your eyebrows a little bit or make you a little bit uncomfortable. If you have any questions about anything that we talked about in this episode, you can always email me. My email is hey@lindsaylockett.com. If you send me an email and I don't get back to you, it's probably because it went to my spam folder. So try to, you know, tag me or something on Instagram. But anyway, I hope that you enjoy the end of my really deep conversation with Poplar. This isn't specifically about boundaries, but it does talk about boundaries. It also talks about emotional neutrality, what that means and what it doesn't mean. We talk about healing and dysregulation for everyone, including perpetrators and abusers. We discuss having empathy and compassion for our past dysregulated selves. We recommend the book, Polyvagal Theory, again. That will be linked in the notes below this episode. And we talk about our nervous systems and how we can consciously make choices when we're aware of what's going on in our nervous systems and we have nervous system literacy. We talk about nervous system literacy related to parenting. And we discuss the collective internet dysregulation. So enjoy this first bonus episode.
I'm trying to think there's, reading books about like attachment.
Yeah.
Is a good one. Like understanding your attachment style and recognizing that there's certain formulas to how we interact with each other.
Yeah.
That are really deeply human, and also learning about polyvagal theory.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Oh my God. So important. So important to understand how the polyvagus nerve system works.
Yeah, I think I've linked to polyvagal theory in every episode I've published so far. I think like I personally feel like I am on a mission to make speaking in nervous system literate terms and vocabulary like the new normal in households. And if all of us were speaking in like nervous system literate terms, it would completely revolutionize our families, our friendships, the way that we interact with literally everybody. We're doing that with our kids right now. Like my kids are reading books about attachment and they're not reading polyvagal theory, but they're reading a book that summarizes polyvagal theory. And they're like learning about like emotional intelligence and emotional agility and like all of that. Like I've made it part of their homeschooling because I'm just like, you're not going to get these skills anywhere else. And I would so much rather you learn them now than when you're 35, like I was. So
you're so right. And I'm surprised how much emotional neutrality has come up in this conversation, because like anyone who knows me from previous years, like there's probably some people who would listen to this and roll their eyes and be like, that person is not emotionally neutral. Because I wasn't. Like, I was a very not emotionally neutral person. And that's one of the biggest changes that's happened for me in the last few years. And I think polyvagal theory has been, like, huge in that. Because when I was dysregulated or just not aware of how, and I'm like a very nervous system literate person. Like, I was learning about the nervous system through yoga, like when I was in my very early 20s. But polyvagal theory has a way of showing you that so much of our interactions happen before any of that content reaches the conscious brain. And so when you are acting from that pre-conscious brain place, you are moving in a way that is completely based on your sense of safety and your need for protection, which is so much about what boundaries is. Like to, when I've talked about this, I'm like, boundaries are protection magic. And I think that the reason that emotional neutrality has become so important for me is because when I can move something from the non-conscious sort of brainstem part of my body into my conscious brain, what I realize is that ultimately the least harm comes when I can be closest to emotionally neutral. And that doesn't mean numbing out so that I don't feel what's going on. Like, you have to feel what's going on. Part of becoming neutral is to ride the wave to get to the place where you can be more neutral, and you can take all in, you can take in all the factors as information to make an informed choice for the best of everyone's benefit. To the best of, you can do that. You can't make everyone happy. You can't meet everyone's needs all the time. But yeah, polyvagal theory is huge. Like, it will just completely, and it's not woo for anyone who's like skeptical of the woo. It's not woo. It's science driven, but incredibly empathy building and demystifying of conflict. It's,
yeah,
I cannot speak to it enough how highly I value it.
Yeah, that actually, knowing about the nervous system and polyvagal theory is, and this is a really unpopular opinion that I have, and part of what's gotten me like slammed on the internet, is I think that we shouldn't only be having compassion and empathy for victims, but I also think that we should be having compassion and empathy for perpetrators and abusers, because perpetrators and abusers were once victims themselves. And like most of the time, victims of something in childhood, whether it was abuse or neglect or sexual abuse or whatever, witnessing something scary, developmental trauma. And like the words of Rosma Menakem, like for their nervous systems, it was too much, too fast, too soon. And their body stored it as the body does. And their nervous system over and over is just trying to find a way to regulate itself, but they're doing so in very unhealthy ways. And so they were victims and now they've become abusers and perpetrators. And that's not like, I'm not bypassing the victims by saying that, but I'm saying like, it was really instrumental in my own healing to recognize that I am a victim of abuse at the hands of my parents. Like physical abuse at the hands of my parents. And I had a lot of anger for them for a lot of years, a lot of unforgiveness. And like you were saying, I built a lot of my identity on my parents being wrong, on being able to point my finger and be like, what you did was wrong. And it was wrong. But then like I learn about the nervous system and trauma and all of these things. And it actually was like a salve over my wounds, because it was like I could have empathy and compassion for my parents, knowing that I'm not excusing what they did. Like, I'm not saying that them being abusive was okay, but I am saying like I can acknowledge that you were acting from your own place of pain and trauma, and it came out in a really unhealthy way that was very damaging and harmful to me. But I'm not going to live in victim mode forever. I'm going to choose forgiveness and love and compassion. And I'm going to choose to be like, you did the best you could with what you have. Your best might have been fucked up, but it was the best you could do. And I know that's a really unpopular opinion. And I've been told online that I'm siding with perpetrators and I'm like holding hands with fucking white supremacists and all that, because I'm like, even white supremacists have trauma. Like, I'm not siding with the perpetrator. I'm saying, like, they grew up to become perpetrators, but at one point in their lives, they were victims of something. And they deserve just as much access to healing and resources for healing and trauma awareness and all of that as victims do. Like, there's enough compassion to go around for everybody. Healing is not a zero-sum game. Just because perpetrators heal doesn't mean victims won't, and vice versa. And so, yeah, that was a bit of a tangent, but
I understand what you mean though, because, and it is an unpopular opinion in some circles, but I also think, like, there are some people who they're a sociopath or a psychopath or a really blatant narcissist or whatever, but we over assign that to people massively.
For sure.
Most people are just hurt people hurting other people. Yeah. And I think that right now there's a lot of people just don't want to associate themselves with what they think is wrong. And it just limits their sense of compassion for other human beings. And it's, if you don't want to have compassion for another being, like, you don't have to. Like I said, I'm not, like, I'm an anarchist. I'm like, do what you want to do. You are the authority of you. That's fine. But I do think that, again, like, we have, like, polyvagal theory really shows us that so much of what we do, we don't choose consciously.
Yeah.
And one of the biggest things is that your thoughts will match what is going on with your nervous system.
Yep.
So, like, for me, for years, my nervous system was not ever in a regulated place. Like, I remember, like, I would do yoga for 2 hours, and at the end of it, I would feel drunk of how calm I felt. But I was not, like, exceedingly calm. I just was never calm in the rest of my life because I had experienced triggers and trauma and PTSD and whatever, various different things. And now that I'm in a place where, like, my default is to be calm, oh my God, I have so much empathy for myself in the past and for other people, where it's like, because the thing is that when you're not at ease, your mind matches that way of seeing things, right? And so it's just recognizing that there are many different ways to look at the world. And the way you look at the world is a direct reflection of the state of your nervous system. And a lot of people will hear that and be like, no, what I see in the world is true because it's true. And it's like, yeah, but also if you weren't in fight or flight all the time, and it's a cycle, like, being stressed out that way will make you be more stressed and your brain can get addicted to those stress chemicals. So yeah, polyvagal theory, honestly, we could probably do like a whole other episode just talking about that. Cause it's like,
probably so.
Probably applicable to like everything. It is an incredibly wild learning that when you apply it to yourself and inevitably to others, it just creates so much room to stop assuming that people have full authority over the choices that they make.
Yeah.
We just don't. We scientifically and politically, in many ways, if you look at how the systems of the world work, we are products of our nervous system and our environment. We are not solely the result of the choices that we make. But the irony, the paradox of that is that once you realize that to be true, it gives you so much more room to make choices on purpose.
Mm.
Because it allows you to take the time to stop and think and contemplate and make decisions that come from a place that's not just the bottom of your brainstem telling you to run from the dinosaur or whatever that's trying to eat you.
Yeah, I actually posted a video about that last night about, are you a responder or are you a reactor? And like a reaction is, it's a brainstem thing. It's like, you don't even think about it. It's just your instinctive reaction. That's what you do. And most of the time, I don't know if I've ever reacted out of love, but when you respond, like whenever it's thoughtful, when you like take a moment and check in with yourself and take a deep breath and assess where your nervous system is at and like assess where the other person's nervous system is at, then you can like respond and it diffuses things so much better and it doesn't harm yourself or other people the way that reacting does.
And you can start to consider, and I think that this comes with age too, where like I remember at a younger age saying something and in the moment your nervous system's up and you're like, I'm going to say this and it's going to feel good. And then years later, it's, wow, this one comment that I made changed my relationship with this person in a way that changed my entire life. And now I don't know if I stand by that thing that I said with the same veracity that I felt in that moment. And so it allows you to be like, will I stand by what I'm about to say in 6 months, 5 years, 10 years? You can't know because you can't see the future. But sometimes less is more because you can't take shit back. Like, I've had relationships to be destroyed because of things that were said back and forth that you can't take back. You can always say more, but you can't take back the things that you say in the heat of the moment.
Yeah.
And your nervous system will tell you that's the right thing to say when you're peaked. I saw that stuff online a lot, and it did not make sense to me fully until learning about polyvagal theory and recognizing the deeper why of why that made sense.
Yeah. And I'm going to say this, and I don't want it to sound judgmental. It may sound that way. So I'm just like giving a disclaimer. I don't mean it that way, but it helps me. I feel like I am able to stay more regulated in my nervous system whenever I'm like aware of another person's dysregulation.
Yeah.
I know. And I'm not being like, I'm judging people and, oh, you're dysregulated. Like, I'm not saying it like that. It's just like with my kids, like my kids are learning nervous system literacy right now. They're learning like what their 4F response is. And my son has a pretty strong freeze response. And like, we're at the point where when we're trying to talk and he goes into his freeze response, like we're at the point where I can be like, hey buddy, it seems like you're going into a freeze response right now. What's going on for you? Are you able to overcome that freeze response? Are you able to, I know your nervous system is telling you to shut down and quit talking, but are you able to override that and keep communicating? But it's because I understand my own nervous system and the way that it works, that I can then have a really productive, healthy conversation with my child, because I can see the dysregulation in his nervous system and then walk him through that. And it's not easy. Like, it's like being like mom and therapist at the same time. But I hope that one day we can live in a world where like all parents know how to talk to their kids like this. And then like being a mom and a therapist isn't weird. It becomes normal. I don't know.
And it's so relevant to parenting. And even like, I notice like my job, I support people as my job who often are going through a lot of different kinds of trauma, are very frequently in the fight, flight, freeze, fawn spectrum somewhere. And I think, being able to recognize that in others, and also being able, because our nervous systems are very aware of each other, like even simple things like our heartbeats sync up with each other. Like if one person's heartbeat is really fast and another person's more regulated, usually the really fast heartbeat will start to come down a bit and the slower heartbeat will come up a little bit, and then you can drop down together if that's available. And so your nervous system is a resource in your relationships, hugely. Yeah. Like for me, that's professionally true, absolutely. But it's also true, like just relationally in all of the ways I relate with other humans. And realizing that was huge for me, because it's the same thing as like people being like, self-care matters. It's self-care matters, but there's all these other factors that matter. And it's, recognizing like my nervous system literally can be resourced by the people around me. And so if I'm in a place where I'm chill and I'm calm and I'm in a good place, like that is directly impactful to the people around me. And so it makes me understand like how taking care of myself like matters, not just to me, but to others also, like in a very physiological sense.
Yeah.
It's not woo, but it has woo applications.
It does. Like, I think we all know a person who is a very regulating person. Like my husband is the kind of person that he can walk into a room that has like bad vibes, off energy, frustration, anger, arguing, whatever. And I have actually seen this happen on numerous occasions where he can walk into that room or sit down at that table and it changes the vibe of the whole thing. And it's because my husband is one of the most well-regulated people I've ever met. He's always been very well-regulated. He can practice emotional neutrality very well. He just doesn't get anxious. He doesn't get upset. Like he's very just chill and regulated. But it becomes a resource to other people whenever he 100%. Walks into a room And it's like suddenly where there was chaos and frustration and argument, there can be like calm because everybody is like harmonizing. And I'm really glad that you, like you said that about the heartbeats regulating together, because in his book, My Grandmother's Hands, Rosma Menakem talks about people harmonizing their bodies together. And like the way that we can harmonize our bodies with each other is like standing in a room and all taking deep breaths together, or standing together and humming the same song, or hugging each other for like longer than 5 seconds. But that's just ways that we can harmonize our bodies. And I think that's why like the fucking internet, everybody's nervous system is so dysregulated on the internet, because there's no way for everybody online to harmonize their bodies together.
Yeah.
And so it's just like a fucking
mess.
There's
no way it would get that intense in person.
Right.
Like we have checks and we have internal physiological checks and balances, mirror neurons, basic human empathy, things that like we just don't relate to each other like that when we are physically close to each other. And that's been majorly exacerbated by the pandemic.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I think 2020 in general exacerbated that. Like, yeah. It started out as such a volatile, polarizing year, and it just stayed that way the whole time. And here we are, early 2021, and it's still that way. And it just cements for me more and more, like, our nervous systems are where it's at. Like, we've got to learn about our nervous systems and how to regulate them and how to be a regulating presence, and how to have empathy and compassion for people who are dysregulated. Because the worst thing that you can do for somebody who's in a dysregulated state is to try to take control of them, or tell them what to do, or belittle them, or shame them, or whatever. That's just going to dysregulate them even more. But yet, yeah, everything that I see online is that's the method, that's the approach that everybody takes, is let's just shame people, let's drag their names across the mud, let's smear them, let's cancel them, let's do all these things to them. And maybe it's going to get us what we want. No, it's not.
No.
And it's overstepping boundaries because you're dysregulated. Like, a regulated nervous system knows how to set boundaries. A dysregulated nervous system not only doesn't know how to set boundaries, but also doesn't know how to respect other people's boundaries.
Totally. Yeah. And I think it's like learning to regulate your nervous system and your emotional response is like the most important boundary tool. Like, people typically come to boundary work because they have a problem with another person, and then they're frustrated to discover that not all the things that can be recommended to them to work on their issue, it almost has nothing to do with the other person.
Yeah.
It's frustrating because a lot of the time we want to vent about how, that's what I'm saying, we take pleasure in venting about how annoying this other person is, or how much we hate this thing that we're against, or whatever. But really, it's liberating to know that it's up to us. It's up to us to make choices about our time, our energy, our space, all of these things, to create the life that we want to have. And we do it in little steps, one little step at a time, building that resiliency.
Yeah, that's awesome. Holy shit, this chat has been great. We've been going for 2.5 hours. It's awesome.
2.5 hours?
Well, I hit record like 2 hours ago, but yeah. Okay, let's wrap it up. And I have all of these things written down for links to provide people with resources. But one thing we haven't talked about is, how can people find you?
Yeah, I went offline for a very significant amount of time. So my online presence, you're not going to go to my Instagram and find a million memes of all the things you just heard me say. But if you want to contact me, my Instagram is probably the best place to do that.
Okay.
Which is Poplar Rose.
Yep.
It's like, yep. At Poplar Rose.
And you said that if people want any kind of one-on-one work, you'd be willing to negotiate that, and they can just contact you through Instagram.
Yeah. I used to read tarot for people, and I've done all kinds of, I'm just in a place where I used to promote my course, and I don't have a solid offering around this stuff right now, because I'm still reshaping my own ideas around it. But yeah, if someone really is like having an issue and feels like my sort of ethical, spiritual, whatever framework is a helpful one, yeah, I would be happy to negotiate figuring out a way to support someone if it feels like the right fit.
Sure. That's awesome. Thank you, Poplar, for coming on. Thanks for chatting for so long about boundaries and all the things. It was awesome. You're a great person.
Thanks.
Yeah, this has been a lot of fun. Okay, until next time. I really hope you enjoyed that juicy insider's look on the rest of my conversation with Poplar Rose. In the notes below, I will have links to the resources that we mentioned, as well as how you can follow Poplar and work with her if that's something that you're interested in. I also want to let you know that The Circle is very much in its infancy stage. We being my husband and I, he's my number one and only teammate, are constantly brainstorming ideas for how we can make this space the most valuable to you. And we've had a couple of requests to create a community in this space. So we are investigating ways in which to do that in a way that's like not on Instagram or in a Facebook group. So if you have any suggestions for that, you're welcome to reach out. But anyway, the circle will continue to grow and it will just become a bigger and bigger and bigger circle. And I'm so excited, so honored that you're here, and also just thrilled to connect with other holistic trauma healing people and people who I know, if you're like me, if you're here because you're like me, it's because you know there's something deeper. You know there's something that isn't being talked about in your therapy sessions. It's not something your psychiatrist or your psychologist is talking with you about. You feel like there's parts of you and your story that aren't being addressed. And that hole that you feel, that emptiness that you feel, that is the holistic aspect. It's because the holistic aspect is being missed or overlooked. And that is what this space and the podcast attempts to remedy, is to fill that hole and make healing truly holistic. So thank you again for being here. I'm so stoked that you are part of the circle. As always, you can find me on Instagram at I am Lindsay Lockett. And eventually, hopefully, we will have a way, whether it's a forum or an app or something, where the circle members can connect even on a day-to-day basis outside of the monthly Zoom calls. So stay tuned. Lots of exciting things are coming. If you are a founding member, I just want to say thank you for helping me to get this community going. Thank you for believing in something when you had no evidence that anything actually existed. And I really look forward to getting to know you all more, connecting with you more, and healing and growing with you more.